I would pray as we gather here tonight that the fear of the Lord would fall upon each one of us individually, that we would be a different generation, like no other generation. That we don't put our trust in the arm of flesh, but that we trust in the Lord.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Almost 50 years ago, Raul was living a sinful, self-destructive life. His wife Sharon prayed for several years on his behalf until finally he came to the Lord in genuine repentance. For Raul's testimony of the power of prayer, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to receive a free DVD of Raul's story. We're glad to have you along today as Raul offers a call to action in our series exposing the dangers of unchecked sin. You'll see that as a believer, you're empowered to respond to the world's godless attitudes and activities with the authority of Christ through prayer. You can stand in the gap and fight against spiritual darkness. So stay with us for a challenge to keep petitioning on behalf of those who've rejected God's truth. Today's lesson is titled, When We Don't Pray, We Sin. If you have your Bible, join us in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Here's Raul Reese.
We're living in a time where there's a lot of bad news, but also there are good news for us tonight. And one of the things that Samuel did, which I love about Samuel, he said when you read the book of 1 Samuel, you come to that place where you're coming out of the book of Judges. Remember? The book of Judges. And when you're coming out of the book of Judges, it says that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. If you go back to Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, after that generation died, there arose another generation that did not know the Lord, that they worshiped Baal and Ashtaroth. They worshiped the gods of fertility, of sex. It was a point in time in a nation where the nation declined all the way down. Even though God raised up judges to take care of the people, yet every time a judge would come to the scene to rescue the people of God, after that judge would die, the people would go right back into sin. So what happens is that after that happens, we go into the book of 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, we find a woman and a husband that has two wives, Hannah and then Peninnah, the other wife. And what's happening here is that this guy loves Hannah a lot, but she can't have babies. And in that culture, not to have a child is kind of a bummer. But the other woman, she could have children. And then they would go to the actual temple every year. And when she went to the temple that year, she was in the temple, and as she was there, the priest Eli was there and saw her go outside, and she was kind of mumbling to herself. And he thought that she was a little tipsy, drinking. And he said, oh no, my Lord, I'm out here praying. I'm asking God to give me a child. I can't have babies, but I want a child. And the priest Eli said to her, by this time next year, the Lord says, you're going to have a baby. And the Lord got her pregnant through her husband. And the next year she had a child by the name of Samuel, which in Hebrew means asked of God. I prayed and God answered me. I love that. Asked of God. And as this baby was born, she weaned him for a long time. And once the child was weaned, she took him, instead of keeping him, she took him to the temple, where Eli was the priest. And what's amazing about the story of Eli, he had two sons, and they were horrible, horrible in the temple of God. They were threatening people. They were taking the sacrifices of God and eating them themselves. They were laying with people in the house of God sexually. And they were threatening people and they were not afraid of anything. And Eli, the father of these children, was a poor disciplinarian. He never did anything to correct it. And so God has now Samuel, as he's brought to the temple, and Hannah says to Eli, "Here's my baby son. I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm going to leave him in the house of God. You take care of him. I'll come and visit him." Samuel is in the house of the Lord 12 years later. He's 12 years old. You come to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and it says that as Samuel was there ministering unto the Lord had never spoken to Samuel. And that night, as he went to bed, he was sleeping. He had just gone to bed. And all of a sudden, as he went to bed, he heard this voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel, Samuel." He got up. He went over to Eli the priest. "Excuse me, are you calling me?" "What? Don't wake me up. Go back to bed. I'm not calling you." He goes back to bed. Starts napping again. "Samuel, Samuel, Samuel." Gets up. Goes over to the priest again. "Kid, I told you, don't bother me. I'm not calling you. Go back to bed." So he goes back to bed. The next time he hears "Samuel, Samuel," he gets up. He goes over to the priest, and the priest now knows something. He says, "Samuel, the next time you hear your name, say, 'Here I am, Lord, speak.' It's God. Speak, God." He went over, he lay down, and the voice came again. He said, "Yes, sir. Speak, Lord." And the Lord said, "I'm going to give you a message." Can you imagine a 12-year-old kid? God giving him a message, not a good message, a bad message, a message of judgment. When God came to him and spoke to him, amazing, he said, "This is what I'm going to do, Samuel. You're 12 years old, but I'm going to kill Eli's sons. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to kill them because of what they've done to my house." The next morning, he gets up. He's walking around the temple, and Eli says, "Hey, Samuel, son, come here. What did God tell you?" Samuel says, "I can't tell you." He says, "If you don't tell me, may God curse you. Okay, I'm going to tell you. God says he's going to kill your children. From laying with women and taking money from the offerings and doing what they've done, they're dead." So as time moves on and Eli's sons die in the battle, they're killed. God wipes them out. Samuel becomes a priest and a prophet to the nation. He's a godly man. Asked of God. So he moves on. And then there's a person by the name of Saul that is being raised up. And the Lord, he's the son of Kish. His father's Kish. The small tribe of Benjamin. And they're poor. And all of a sudden, the prophet Samuel, as Saul loses some sheep, his father says, "Go find them." So they go out to find them, but they can't find them. But they find out that there's a prophet in town. So they go downtown and they talk to Samuel. He prepares a table for them. They eat. And he says, "Hey, by the way, Saul, I want you to know that God is choosing you to be the next king. And your sheep, they're taken care of. They'll be in your father's house." He couldn't believe it. That he would become the next king. Now, God did not choose Saul to be the king. It was the people that chose Saul. And what did he do? He took their children and brought them into bondage and slavery. He used them only for his own purposes. And God already, in his mind, in his heart, already had a king. Who was that? David. David would be the king. He would be a man after God's own heart. But at this time, David was what? A little boy. Teenager. A little shepherd boy that God would choose, that later on became the king of Israel. Imagine how we as a church and as God's people really need to pray for our children, for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, because prayer is very powerful. the prayer of the saints are in heaven. Great-great-grandparents and grandparents and parents that have prayed and died and got to be with the Lord, their prayers have been answered before they died, and some of them were not until they were gone. In the future, they were answered. Why? Because God answers prayer through the godly. And maybe a lot of my prayers will not be answered here in this life. And when I'm gone, God will answer other prayers that I've been praying for. Because I'm not upset with God. I just wait on the Lord. And to me, it's a real blessing to be able to serve you and to be able to serve this church. Turn to the 12th chapter of Samuel. Samuel now is sitting there in chapter 12 of 1 Samuel. And Saul has been elected to be the next king. Look what it says beginning with verse 1. And now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is your king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And look, at my sons are with you too. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here am I, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I ever taken? Whose donkey have I ever taken? Or who have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed from those whose hand I have received any bribe, which is to the blind to my eyes? I will restore it to you." So what is he doing? He's saying, if I have done anything against you, please step forward and tell me now if I haven't been a good shepherd. Tell me now if I've lied to you, if I stole something from you. He says, I'm blameless before you and before God. So he's setting the way. Watch what else he says. Verse 4. "And they said, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said to them, the Lord is a witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is a witness. Then Samuel said to the people, is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt? Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob had gone into Egypt, and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forget the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, into the hands of the king of Moab. And they fought against them, and they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths, but now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you. So what does God do? God says that he'll bring the Russians, he'll bring the Chinese, he'll bring the Taliban, he'll bring anybody that he has to do, whatever he has to do, to bring us back to the Lord. He will do whatever. Pretty heavy when you think about what's happening in the world today. That when 9/11 happened, God allowed it to happen. It was in his purpose. Not to put us into war, but to show us that we have moved away from God and we're worshiping other things than the true living God. So what does God do? God allows these Muslim radicals to get up on planes and then go crashing into New York City, into the Pentagon, and allow things to happen like that to give us a wake-up call. And I remember how the churches were so jam-packed for the next couple of weeks, and then the church is emptied out because people forget what the Lord is trying to say. We got to be careful we don't forget. We cannot forget what God says. And for me, it's a real thing that when I read the scriptures, I believe them. I relate to them. Because Samuel is saying, look, you guys were worshiping the gods of fertility. But then you repented. And what did God do? Look what he says. Again in verse 11. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, you notice, Bedan and Jephben and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. Every time you would repent, what would God do? He set up a judge, and he was sent, and Gideon came, and others came, and they delivered you because the Lord sent them. And the moment those people died, what happened? You went right back into sin. You could care less. You did it all over again. Their children's children would follow the example of the parents. Remember what's amazing in Judges chapter 2:10? It says in verse 10, and when that generation passed away, the parents from Joshua's time that loved the Lord and really served the Lord, that the next generation said what? And when the next generation came along, they worshiped the Baals and the Ashtaroths. They became idolaters. They never follow up their parents' religion. They worshiped other gods. Your children will only learn by example, by you being in church and being them in Sunday school. Not just once a week. 3 times a week. 6 hours out of your busy schedules. So that your children can hear the word of God. You can hear the word of God. You can learn so you can teach your children and your grandchildren. Real important what God says here. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with the Lord. And the fellowship with one another, all of us here. That God desires. He wants to use our lives. Watch what else he says. This is amazing. Verse 12. And when you saw that Nasha, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Imagine that. God was your king and you say, we don't want God. We want a man like the other nations of the world. We want a prime minister. We want a queen. We want a king. We don't want God to rule over us. That was the end of that nation, man. And what do we say? In God we trust. We're liars. In our dollars, as baloney. We don't trust in God. We trust in other gods. Thank God for the church. Thank God for you. Thank God for every believer in America and the world. Because we are the salt of the earth. We're a light on a hill. And as long as we're here, we are salt to this earth. That's why the Antichrist has come. Why? Because as long as the presence of the church and the work of the Holy Spirit is within the church, the Antichrist cannot come. And the judgment of God cannot come in full force the last 7 years of tribulation because the church is here. But once the church is out, all hell will break loose. Heavy what's coming ahead. But God's warning us. Look what else he says. He goes on, verse 13. Now therefore here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and your king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Interesting. You hear what he said? Sounds like today. God is speaking to us for the next election and the next election if we're here. Because we need to be righteous people. We need to obey, not disobey. And then he said this, verse 16. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder, rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for a king for yourselves. What was their sin? They asked for a king, to trust in men instead of God. Wow. Imagine that. They wanted a king like the rest of the nations, that he would just rule. No, no, no. We want somebody godly. Maybe they don't know a lot about politics. Who cares? They know the Lord. That's good enough for me. If they fear God. If they fear God, that's good enough for me. Really important what God says here. We are responsible to vote for the person that fears the Lord. God says that. Look what else he says. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die. For we have added all our sins and evil by asking for a king for ourselves." So they're repenting. And then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord." But what? "But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver you." Isn't that neat? When you go after other things that are empty, you have no deliverance, but emptiness. "For they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people." And check this out. "Moreover, as for me, Samuel, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by not praying for you. I will teach you the good and the right way." Isn't that beautiful? The prophet, the pastors, the leaders, we need to pray for the people. A real shepherd loves his people. A hireling runs from the people. He flees the people of God. I would pray as we gather here tonight that the fear of the Lord would fall upon each one of us individually, that we would be a different generation, like no other generation. That we don't put our trust in the arm of flesh, but that we trust in the Lord.
We've seen today that while it's easy to become overwhelmed and paralyzed by our nation's increasing godlessness, we need to instead respond with fervent, diligent prayer. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of any amount. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. And to make your request, just ask for Raul's lesson titled, "When We Don't Pray, We Sin." Now, before Raul returns, we'd like to tell you about a booklet with more biblical insight into God's perspective on sin. Titled "Sin, the Root of All Evil," this resource provides a biblical view of how spiritual compromise can cause a ripple effect of destruction if left unacknowledged and unrestrained. You'll also learn to identify areas of weakness in your own life as you explore common pitfalls and temptations to pray against. So contact us to order this helpful booklet titled "Sin, the Root of All Evil." To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this booklet for a gift of $7.95 plus shipping and handling. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Well, as we continually look for ways to help you grow in your relationship with God, your feedback is important. When you contact us for any reason, we'd love to hear how these broadcasts have enriched your spiritual journey. And when you contact us, let us know how we can pray for you as well. Don't forget, every dollar that's given to Somebody Loves You Radio is used to win the lost, build up believers, and strengthen the local church. Your tax-deductible gifts are the only means of support we have, so we appreciate your partnership in this radio ministry. Join us again next time on Somebody Loves You Radio for biblical truth that will shape your perspectives and inspire you to honor the Lord in all of the everyday business of life. Here's Raul now with a closing comment.
Look what he says finally. Verse 24. "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has already done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." Wow. You'll be swept away. "I will bring judgment on you and your king." I think that God has spoken to me tonight. I hope he's spoken to you. That we need to be a godly seed in everything that we do and say. If the judgment of God starts in the house of God, what will be the outcome of the non-believer? It will be worst. Peter said that. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will do a tremendous work among us tonight. That as we depart to go home, that we will not forget the message. And that tonight you'll begin before you go to bed on your knees with your children, your grandchildren, if they live with you. And you pray to the Lord. And tomorrow, and the next day, the next day, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. That we really take time to pray. Because it is a sin not to pray. It's a sin before God.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.